on a series of messages a long time ago, and when I started, it was about 1992 that I started preaching some places on the road what I preach now to this church. But I was very selective when I did it, because I knew afterwards I was going to get mobbed or run out of town on a rail. But this heading, you've seen on the last several messages I've preached, and this was the way I approached it. Do you want God to examine your ways? Then I defined ways, attitude, and lifestyle, so that you may have a well-grounded hope of the promised blessing. This was something that I thank God I finally understood it, and I can understand why some have trouble with this, because we'll be going along and I'll be talking about the things that are happening here, and like out in California, and I'll be going right along and following what I've got. And on these messages, I was careful not to lie to them, but to try to get around it so that they would know when I thought the rapture would occur. And I still don't know when the rapture is going to occur. Can you hear me back there? Anybody can't hear me? Okay. So, this series actually was based on what I believe, but it's really something that has to do with the, how should I put it? It really has something to do with prayers, because I used a lot of it for prayers. And that way, when I came down to the part where I was wanting to tell them about, they always asked me about the rapture. When's the rapture going to go? When's the rapture going to go? So to avoid that, if they asked me individually, I wouldn't lie to them, but I'd work my way around it to where they didn't know what I believed. That wasn't too hard for me. And you all saw me here at the church a long time ago when I first started going up and down the board. There was the screen up there. And I would come right on down to where I was telling them about some things that had to do with the last days. The tribulation period had really started. And I would say, and this is when I believe the rapture would occur. And I'd cover a very wide section of screen, because I'm not going to lie to you. And I talked to God a lot about this, because he didn't bother me about it. Lord, he bothers me about everything, but I just went ahead and did it, and he didn't mind. But I've had some questions addressed to me. And the people that addressed them, I could tell they were confused. And I suppose I've spent half my life being confused. But what they were confused about is, all of a sudden, and I'd come to the part where they were getting ready to have the tribulation period and so forth and so on. And I'd go from one side of the earth to the other. And this has confused some people, I can tell it. And Michael, is my son, is one of them. He says, "But Dad, how do they go? Don't you tell him I told on him, please." But he's asked me this two or three times, and every time I get ready to put it out, he's not here. So I'll get him Sunday morning, because I'm going to have a little in there about it. But if what I'm saying to you now makes you confused, it also confuses me. But the truth of the matter is, this thing about that has to do with God examining your ways. The first time I ever wrote anything about it was at the seminary, and I used it in such a way that they all knew what I believed, but I didn't care down there. It's one of the few bad grades I ever made. I made a B one time, and it was because I just told them what I believed. And when I did in class, well, that hurt, but it was the best thing that ever happened to me. Because when it happened afterwards, I realized that God was letting me do it there because that's where he wanted me to do it. But I had aced everything I had ever... Can you hook that up? But I had aced everything that I had ever turned into this teacher. And he gave me a B because of it. And, it hurt my feelings. It made me feel so inferior. But lo and behold, afterwards, I realized, and I came to realize, it's the best thing ever happened to me. It broke my vanity, and everything went fine from there on out, and I learned more and more about stuff. Okay. Now, in this one for tonight, it's on one sheet, one single sheet. You want to give them a single sheet back there in the back? They just came in, Ken. If he starts talking to you, well, just don't pay any attention to him. He'll stand back there and talk to you for the rest of the service. Okay. Do you want God to examine your ways? The Bible talks about the way. He said, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he said the way was narrow gate. Few there be that find it. He said lots of things about your ways. And really it means your attitude and lifestyle. God examined it. And I'll tell you what, he's a whole lot more likely to examine it when you come to the point that you finally realize, I don't know near as much as I thought. And you finally realize, if I'm ever going to learn anything, I'm going to have to listen to what you have to say. Because you realize that he's always right. And sometimes you're right. But it's only because he's taught you something that lets you see what was right. And if you want a well-grounded hope of the promised blessings, if so, the following is a prayer request to God to do certain things to you to make you aware of what needs to change in your ways. And it never ends. As long as you're in this body of flesh, he's got things he wants to teach you. And when you finally realize, I'm not going to learn him unless I'm willing to listen to him. If I'm willing to examine myself, I'm your pastor. I should know more than you do. But if I do, it's only because God taught me. And he used a lot of people to teach me. And down through the years, other people have helped me to understand myself and those that I didn't really understand what they were all about, but after certain events occurred, I did. Now let's take a look. This is a prayer in the 139th Psalm by David. I've been showing you quite a few things about the ones and the prayers that they think they say. They themselves expressed that changes that occurred in their life. And there was no question that they were used by God because God referenced them. And this David was a man after God's own heart. Here's what David said. David 139, 23 to 24a, he said, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And he went on from 139:23 to all the way over into the 24th chapter, and see if there be any wicked ways way in me. I know this is true because I still have a carnal nature. And I know that if I have a certain thing go on in my life, I just feel like, man, that's great, that's great, that's great, that's great. And I tend to want to work myself into it some way where I think well of myself because of it. And God doesn't like that at all. And it took me a long time to learn that, but God taught me. And so I think of things like this. And I pray and I ask God, and I don't use the exact words, but I just tell him, Lord, if there's anything I'm doing wrong, any wicked way in me that you want to correct, help me to know what it is, Lord. And he uses his own time. After all, he created time. And so he gets around to it eventually. And I'm eventually going to get around to the point of all this. There are 13 different Hebrew words translated as wicked. And he says, and see if there be any wicked way in me. There are 13 different Hebrew words translated as wicked in the King James Version. I use the King James Version, and you say, well, do you think it's inspired? Yeah, but I think it takes a lot of study to understand what it is, and I don't think you have to go to a seminary to learn it. Did I go to a seminary? Yeah, I went to seminary. I went to schools that taught the languages. And so you don't have to go to school, but I wanted to learn it as quickly as I could because it was important to God, because I went and I didn't enjoy sitting there and having to soak all that in, but I did. He said, this one means labor. Labor, sorrow, that which causes one, that which causes grief, pain in the sorrow, that which in the context of this verse, it means way of pain. This is a prayer request to God to reveal to us what pains him in our ways. If you think that you've never been pained in your ways, you're deceiving yourself. And if you think at times you aren't actually deceiving yourself, you may have been saved for 400 years, but you're still going to be learning from God. Because God is so amazing that you think, well, now I've learned enough. No, you never have learned enough. This is a prayer request to God to reveal to us what pains him in our ways. Sometimes we don't change by his speaking to us through his written word. He causes us to get the message through a way of pain we personally experience. Does God do that to me? Yeah, sometimes. You say, do you know it right away? I suspect it. And so I start letting him know, Lord, let me know what this is. He does it in his own time frame, and that's what I like about God. He created time. He knows the exact time he needs to do it. Well, when he needs to do it, it's always the right time. I'll have to say, from the time that God first saved me until right now, he's taught me everything that's worthwhile, and I've got a lot more that he wants to teach me, and it takes a long time to learn that. And you just have to keep putting yourself down and keep lifting him up in your own mind and heart, because he says that all power in heaven and earth is given unto him. And he's talking about the office of the Son. There is only one God, absolutely only one God, but he works in three different offices. He works as the Father, as the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This may sound strange to you, and I'm sorry if it does, because the first time I ever heard it, read it, and was taught it, I thought, they won't like that. And so that was one of the things I would go like that on. What is it? What was it that bothered me? Well, how do you explain that? How do I explain this? I think God talked to himself. Have you ever heard the expression? You're always talking to yourself. And you say, well, God's not loose-minded like I am. No, he's not. And you're never going to learn anything unless you keep listening to him. But there is only one God. He said so. He just flat out said it. And he said all power in heaven and earth was given unto him. So once I understood that, and understood that God talked to himself, at least I think that's what he did. Because I don't know any other way that he could have been God and not talked to himself, because he created time and he fulfilled these three offices. I think he talked to himself. Because in him, there weren't three people living in him, but there were three offices that lived, that he fulfilled. And he's still fulfilling them, some of them, at least the last part of them. Sometimes we won't change by his speaking to us through his written word. He causes us to get the message through a way of pain we personally experience. If I get the feeling like I'm being a coward because I don't use God, because I didn't teach what I was teaching so plain and obvious, that it was because I was a coward. And it wasn't that reason at all. It was that God had a time and a place and a way that he wanted to teach me. And I just finally gave up. And every time I'd teach them something that I had known for some time, if he approved of it, I would teach it. But I wouldn't come right out and just directly say it. I use that old thing about going up and down the board. And I got it across by just using the word and letting the rest of it take care of itself. Now, how much can you grieve God? Well, how long were you up? How old are you? You say, well, how old are you? Huh. Well, I can tell you when I was, the experience that I went through when I was saved, God loved me, but I wasn't accountable to God until, for the first time, it bothered me a great deal to say something that was displeasing to God. You say, how do you know that? Oh, been there, done that. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed until the day of redemption. I suddenly realized I can grieve God. You say, could you grieve God all that time? He's created time. How long have you grieved? Have you bothered? How many times have you grieved God? I was so busy trying to get saved, I never thought about the effect that it would have on God. I just wanted to get saved. You say, well, that's pretty self-centered. You're right. It is. And I just wanted to get saved. I didn't want to go to hell. You say, oh, you should have done this, you should have done that. Don't tell me what I should have done, because it's taken all this time for me to figure out the things that happen and the things that don't happen and the things that can happen and the things won't happen and the things that will. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. God is in here right now. He's inside me. He's sealed inside me. He's in there. And I can grieve him because I'm in personal contact with him. You say, well, is everything you're saying right now 100% correct? Well, so far he's not bothering me about what I've said, and it took me a long time to come to that conclusion. I wanted to preach, but God really started to get me to understand more about him and more about myself. And the more I found out about him, I realized he was perfect in every way. I knew that, but I knew he sent people to hell. You say, well, did you ever think, well, that's wrong? No, whatever God did, I believed. And there wasn't any question in my mind. There's still no question in my mind. Some things God just let me know. Tom, you need to work on this. And he didn't talk to me. He never whispered in my ear. I'm just sharing with you something that you may or may not have been through. But I grieved the Holy Spirit of God. And I was sealed into the day of redemption. I didn't realize I was grieving him. I thought he was going to send me to hell. And I knew why. Because I'd think some of the awfulest things. And I just thought, oh my goodness, what's wrong? You can grieve God after you're saved. You can grieve him because he's inside you. And he never leaves you. He never forsakes you. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. So I got saved. And when I got saved, it wasn't long till I understood what it meant to be sealed, that I understood what it meant to be saved, that I understood you didn't have to go down a Roman road, that I understood God convicted you directly, and I began to understand there's only one God. I never even thought about it before. If somebody said, how many gods are there? I'd have said one. You said, well, why would you have said that? Because I could read, and it said there was only one. And I began to pay attention to the Bible, and I began to realize that that this thing about walking for God, this business of walking with him, like Enoch was taken directly up. You know, he didn't grieve God very much, did he? And so I began to concentrate on not grieving God so much. And then when that happened, I realized, now you're getting to the point where you think you're something special. And I thought, no, God's taught me I'm not something special. I'm someone that God came to live inside in mercy and in love and compassion. And he's still there, and I can grieve him. You say, why are you telling me that? Why are you telling us that? I'm still that way. I don't want to grieve God. I hate the thought of grieving God. But I've still got a carnal nature. And, you know, if you see something that draws you away from God, I don't mean God runs off and leaves you. But I mean you start, what I think the Pentecostals call it, backsliding. Well, backsliding to me is when you grieve God and all of a sudden you're out in the field somewhere and you need God really bad and you go on. So, knowing what I just told you, I try very hard to let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from me with all malice. You say, do you succeed? No. But I run to God like a small child. I'm not scared of God. I run to him like a small child and tell him I'm sorry. You say, how long has that been going on? Long time. You say, how long do you think it's going to keep going on? Long time. I don't want to grieve God. I'm saved. I'm scripturally baptized. I'm a member of this church. I'm the pastor of this church. I don't want to grieve God. You say, what happens if you do? I just ask him to forgive me. You say, he said, well, how do you do that? Well, he just forgives me. He never leaves me. He never forsakes me. And I came to realize that my spirit is poor. I have a poor spirit. That's a fact. I have a poor spirit. You say, well, wait a minute. Aren't you powerful now like God? No, God's the power. And God himself is the one who leads me and guides me and directs me. And he does it by me running to him when I know that I've done something that grieved him. And you say, well, how many times will he forgive you? As many times as I come. You say, well, that never happens with me. Well, maybe there's something wrong with me, but I don't want to grieve him. And so I ask him, and he forgives me. He says he will. And I put my faith in Christ like I don't have these special religious moments where if I hear a preacher preach a good message, I may seem like I'm not enjoying it. But what I'm doing is concentrating on what he's saying, because God uses preachers that are called to teach people what they need to know. And I listen to Chuck very seriously. Now, Kenneth, I just hang on the clothesline and hope for the best and wonder what's going to happen next. But there's a lot of things that I've learned, and that's what you want to do when God teaches you, because there were some scriptures in there that used to bother me a lot. And I'm going to start teaching on that and go right on through next few years. Hebrews 12, 5 through 14. Now, in Psalm 139, 23, all the way through to the end of these various scriptures, he says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me. I pray that. And I ask God. You say, well, why do you do that? I think it pleases him. I think that's what he wants me to do. I think he wants me to learn to be more like him and less like myself. And that's what's been happening with me. It's what's still happening. Now let's look down there at Hebrews 12. There are 13 different Hebrew words translated as wicked in the King James Version. I don't pay any attention to these other versions of the Bible. What I do, I take the King James and I look it up in Greek and in the New Testament, and I look it up in Hebrew in the Old Testament, and I go back in and I research it. I know men have written some different books about words and what they mean that are kind of neutral on the subject. They just write them, tell you exactly what the word means, and you make up your own mind. You say, well, how does that work? God helps me make it up. God helps me make it up. I don't know what I'd do if God didn't help me make it up. And it's a painful experience you go through. You go through it. Now, you may have a hard time understanding what I'm saying, because you don't go through the same experience unless God calls you into the ministry. And I tell you what, I just thank God he did, because I could never have understood all this. Never. In Hebrews 12, 5 through 14, let's take a look at this. 13 different Hebrew words translated as wicked. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, he calls him my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Okay. He still chastises me. You say, well, wait a minute, you're saved. He still chastises me. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? Now, this is something that you've got to understand, and it's something you understand along the way. But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. I'm not a bastard. I'm a son. Who made you a son? I'm a son of the firstborn. I'm a brother to the firstborn. I'm a brother to the firstborn. Furthermore, we have had children of our flesh which corrected us and gave them reverence. I hate to say this, but it's true. And it's helped me to understand things a whole lot better. When I would go to someone's house and one of my kids acted up a little, I would jump him. You say, well, that's what you should have done. Why did I jump him? Did I jump him because, or my daughter? Did I jump them? Did I actually jump them because, I would treat them a little differently at home? I'll have to tell you the truth, I have to give you this, so I might as well give you the truth. One of the reasons I did it, and I came to realize it was the main reason, when I began to understand myself, I did it so those people would think I was raising my children correctly. I did it because I thought I wanted to show them I was raising them correctly. What I did wasn't wrong, but my motivation for it was. You say, well, I have always corrected them anywhere for their advantage. Well, I was doing it for that reason too. But you see, there's always a thing that goes on inside you that God wants you to know. And he teaches you that at just the right time. And he's taught me a lot of things like that at just the right time. And after you get saved, it's a question of growing up. You say, well, how long does it go on until you're taken into his presence or into heaven? He said, and gave them reverence, shall we not much rather be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chasteneth us after their own pleasure. If I didn't do that, what would happen? They'd get out of hand. Now I'm changing something here a little bit, because I did it for their profit. I did it for their profit, but it was also for my profit. I didn't want my kids running around bugging me all the time about stuff that they didn't have any business getting mixed up in. And so I did have a good motive in it, but I also had my carnal nature to deal with. If you're not careful when you're raising your children, you start doing it because you don't want those people that you're visiting to think that you can't control your own children. Don't tell me that never went through your mind, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous. Amen, amen, and amen. But grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Don't just apply that to the children and say, it's gonna exercise them there, thereby. Well, that's true. But you're also being exercised. You say, well, who's right and who's wrong? That's the problem. We're all wrong. And it's God who's right. If you finally get that screwed on your spiritual button in your head, you'll realize you've done the right thing. You've done what you should. But what's your motive for it? Why do you do it? You say, well, I'm clean and pure and I never do things like that. The devil, you don't. You do. You say, well, could you give me an example? We've had some people that left this church that I was glad. I was wrong. I shouldn't have spent time on it. Had a lot of help understanding it, for which I thank God. So I profited from it because the one who helped me with it is somebody I love very deeply. And I learned from a woman and I learned from a man. And when I saw those things, I said, okay, now you've learned something about yourself. And after I realized before that you couldn't lose your salvation. I was saved and sealed and everything else. But I spent my time concentrating on the past. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous but grievous. Nevertheless, after it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Did the children get exercised thereby? Yes, they did. Was it the right thing to do? Yes, it was. He yieldeth the principal fruit of righteousness. I'm not getting on to you unto them that are exercised thereby. I got exercised by it. They got exercised by it. He says, wherefore? He says, lift up the hands which hang down. There I am. That was me. You know what I try to do all the time? I try to do just what I'm telling you. Whenever I get to dwelling on something in the past and some unpleasant experiences and things of that nature, I say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. You say, well, how does that help you? It helps me to know myself. It helps me to understand myself. It helps me to see myself. And so here's really what I'm trying to get across. I may be sitting there reading something, and all of a sudden, God will say, you shouldn't have put it that way. And all of a sudden, I'll realize I shouldn't try to do things so people will like me more. I should just do things because I'm a bondservant. I'm a bondservant. I've got a thing in my ear. I chose to let God put it there. I chose it. And I love it because I repent. And I just say, okay, Lord, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have said that. And some of you all have corrected me at times. When you come in and you'll joke with me and you'll say things, but I know you're serious. And how do I know that? God lets me know it. So I learn from you. I've learned a lot from Chuck. I've learned a lot from Adam. And I've learned a lot from all of you. And I learned a lot from your dad, from your and from your husband, Sister Trustee. That's why I have such great respect for people who understand what I'm talking about. Now he says, wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. Once I ask God to forgive me, whammo. I'm forgiven. You say, well, you got to be sincere. Believe me, you're sincere when you do this and things are going on around you that just are awful. You can go ahead and face them and make straight paths for your feet. How do you make straight paths for your feet? Well, you got to walk on your feet. You got to walk on a path. You can't walk that path until after. You can't walk that path until after you've been saved. Here's what you're supposed to do all the time. And make straight paths for your feet. Lest that which is lame is turned out of the way. but let it rather be healed. You can't go through life blaming other people for your own faults. And you can't know your own faults until you let God teach you your faults. And this has been a long and hard experience for me, but I now understand what it means when he says, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." This has to do with what happens after you're saved. And you have scriptural baptism. You're not going to find any peace until you get scriptural baptism. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. That's a toughie. Follow peace with all men and holiness. Holiness has to be imputed. And it's imputed to you after you get saved and you start seeing the Lord. I don't mean visibly, but you start understanding Him. You say, "How much of Him do you understand?" I'm going to make a joke here, and Lord forgive me. About that much. And the truth of the matter is, I shouldn't have made that joke. And when I get home, He'll probably nail me on that. Matter of fact, I'm already feeling a little guilty about it. You say, "Well, all your sins have been washed away." I know that. But you're going to be miserable until you come to the point where you realize when God saved you, He saved you by grace. And the grace was based on not predestination, but it was based on pre-knowledge, pre-understanding of the choice you would make. You say, what principle does God operate on? How can he not be meek and lowly unless he thinks very lowly, unless he is meek and lowly? He is meek and lowly. He is meek and lowly. And when I came to realize that I grieve God when I don't walk alongside Him. And I only know one way to find peace with Him personally. I'm already saved. I'm already sealed. And He's imputed to me His holiness. I began to see the Lord. I began to understand. You say, "You don't understand why He's meek and lowly." But He does. Because that's His natural way. That is God's natural way. Without which no man shall see the Lord. Romans 5:1. "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." You say, "Well, they didn't even know the name Jesus Christ back then." My goodness gracious, you got more names for God in the Old Testament and New Testament than Carter has little liver pills. You say, "Well, who did they call on?" Whoever they thought God was at that particular time. He says, "We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." I have peace with Him every day. You say, "Well, I thought you said that you realized you'd done something wrong." Yeah, it's very simple. All I have to do is go and ask God to forgive me. I wouldn't go and ask and forgive me if it didn't bother me, because He's constantly in me. You about go to sleep? I'm just about finished. That there might be partakers of the divine nature. whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. I've escaped. I escaped to be a bondservant. You say, well, you didn't escape. Oh, man, you don't know what I escaped. I escaped hell. And it was the righteousness of God that allowed me to escape hell. You say, well, do you understand all this stuff? I don't have to understand it. I didn't learn it in the seminary. I learned it in the Bible, and I learned it by personal experience with God. I've never seen him. I didn't even get to see the backside of him. But I'll get to see him face to face in heaven because of his work. That by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Oh, I love this. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance. Go right on down the line. They're all there. Whenever I practice, whenever I start, when God bothers me about something, I know it. It may be something one of you said to me. You didn't even realize how much you helped me. Some of you, you don't realize how much you helped me. You really don't. Especially you, Chuck. But I've learned a lot from you. And I listen to you. And sometimes you'll say something, and I get the drift. And I said, he's right. And I go ahead. There's lots of things I do because I'm a real, man, I've got a long way to go. And I have peaceful days. I have peace with God. But it's all through my Lord Jesus Christ. And whenever something bothers me about, like Chuck said something to me one time, and I took it seriously because I just said, he's right. And I quit doing it. You say, well, what was it? I'm not going to tell you. But that's how much you helped me. I do listen. And I do care. And I couldn't get your dad to talk much. But whenever he said something, if it had any criticism whatsoever, I listened. That's the only way you ever learn about yourself. That's the only way you ever learn about God. And one of these days, we won't have to ask all these questions. Chuck, if you tell me I've gone over, I'll kill you. I won't take it kindly. I warn you ahead of time. And anyway, if you say, let's get this over with, I won't ever forget it. Oh, let's see. Robert, why don't you dismiss it?